You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
That was Robert Saleh. He joined us in the first hour as we take in hour number two. Dan Grosset, Ty Butler in for the K. Show. On 98.7 ESPN, 800-919-3776, that is the telephone number. A lot of football. Mike White is the quarterback this week. We'll get to the Giants as well, because even though they didn't officially wrap up a playoff spot, they're still in pretty good shape. So we'll get to the Big Blue as well. Broncos are looking for a new head coach as Nathaniel Hackett is out. I think we covered all the news for the day. But before we went to the break, Ty, you said you had a nightmare scenario that you envisioned. And it's something that has been, like, seeping in your mind. So I need to know what this is.
I can't stop thinking about it. So it is a tad bit premature for us to be talking, you know, week 18, flexing, Jets, win and get in scenario against the Dolphins. Let's go back to 91 to review footage and tape. Mm-hmm. Because there's a game that happened before that. Mm-hmm. And I just keep seeing in my mind, like, there is an opportunity. There is a world that exists where Geno Smith, who folks tried to write off and didn't write back, can knock the Jets out of the playoffs. Geno Smith. Like a 4-touchdown, 350 yards, as a touchdown running the football. Like, that can happen.
I wouldn't look at it that way. No, can I tell you why? You know why I wouldn't look? And I'm going to try to help you as well, and any other fan that's maybe thinking the same thing. If the Jets lose this week, it's not Geno Smith knocking them out of the playoffs. They knock themselves out of the playoffs. That would be their fifth straight loss. You lose five in a row, you don't deserve to go to the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, like, this, it was already, like, teetering in that direction. I just don't blame it on one game in particular. If you've got a five-game skid, you're not a playoff-worthy team, in my opinion.
That's the rational way to look at it, and that's why you get paid the big bucks. And when you said you were yesterday watching games and screaming and neighbors heard you. There are no neighbors near you. You live in a palatial estate. This is like an isolated, you know, 17-story, all these rooms. You've got your own place. I know all the money that you're making. But so that's the rational way to look at it. It's just
not quite.
That Dan Grosset money, man. You've got 15,000 jobs.
You know, it's so funny. I heard about all this Dan Grosset money. I'd like to see the Dan Grosset money once in a while.
I feel like every time I turn on the radio, it's Dan Grosset. I put my TV on. There's Dan Grosset again.
Oh, Jets,
it's all over the place. But so that's the rational way to look at it.
I keep getting kicked out of the house. That's why. By the way, I got to tell you something. I got to tell you something that happened, by the way. And I try to stay.
Dan, I'm an idiot.
No, I don't think Ira is necessarily. So I like to stay in pretty good shape. I try to stay active. You know, I got the running program. I'm getting out there, even though I've kind of slipped a little bit over the last month or so because, you know, work and life, you're busy. So the other day, this was on Saturday, so it was like the pre-Christmas, Christmas Eve, watching the games. I got the games on the TV. I got the computer open, trying to, you know, keep track of everything that's going down with the games. So I had to get up off the couch. And me thinking, you know what, I'm in good shape. I can handle this. I'm going to, you know, cut corners, if you will, getting up off the couch. So I take my leg, and instead of, like, closing the computer so I can have a nice, easy exit off of the couch, I decide to do, like, the leg whip, like up and over the computer to then get off the couch. I must have yanked, pulled, strained something in the quad thigh area.
Oh, no.
Let me tell you something. For the last 48 hours, it just comes and goes, and it feels like somebody has stabbed me in the leg.
So
it is the most painful thing. But, yeah, that's a lesson to, you know, don't cut the corners necessarily. And maybe I'm not as fit as I used to be, but I'm paying for it, my friend. I'm paying for it severely.
But I am happy to see that you're working out. How about this? We would be all excited if the Jets make the playoffs. If the Jets make the playoffs, we need a shirtless Dan Grosset photo on Twitter.
Why?
Just like you celebrating. Just you celebrating, pounding your chest, jumping up and down.
But No. I mean, I don't know why I would do that.
Because the audience is calling for it.
Who's this audience?
Well, because that's what happens. Like, when the Giants win a big game, you get a video of Dave celebrating, cheering. When the Commanders, a couple of weeks ago, I forget who they beat, Anthony, but Peter, he put out a video of him celebrating. So I would love to see a shirtless Dan Grosso fully worked out.
But remember, that's Peter. Dave doesn't work for the Giants. Peter doesn't work for the Commanders.
That's true.
As well.
Ross is
like,
not
bad
looking.
I don't think so, Don. And, you know, I have an obligation. Like, I still have to have my – like, I'm pulling for them, obviously. You know that that's where my allegiance lies. But I also have professional obligations to kind of, you know, tell it like it is. I'm not going to sit there on the broadcast and just start, like, ripping my clothes off because they're going to the playoffs. Now,
I would love
now
to
if
see
it's,
that.
If,
during
if
the
it
broadcast,
goes to the Super
just,
Bowl one day
– I think Dave Ross is a very attractive guy.
Yeah, maybe Hulk we can Hogan have a style. Different conversation.
Hulk Hogan style, you're just like going full throttle, ripping the shirt just in pieces.
Well, here's the other thing about the Hulk Hogan style. I mean, why do I want to destroy things that I probably purchased? Because then it's going to cost me even more money to
but
have
you got
to
a lot of money.
That garment of clothing.
You've already got a lot of money, Dan. Come
but I don't want to allocate it to, you know, clothing that I have already.
You've got enough money to cure world hunger, is what I've been told.
Let me ask you a question. If you had the disposable income and you had a car that you're quite fond of, you wouldn't just go out and start wrecking your car and take a baseball bat to it just because you have money to replace it,
I
right?
love that analogy. I really do love that analogy. So your point is well taken. Your
Thank
point is
you.
Well taken. But just to go back,
yes.
The nightmare scenario, and again, you're looking at it from a rational standpoint. It just, that's the picture perfect headline, right? The next day, Geno Smith, you know, tried to write him off. He didn't write back. Jets gave up on him, and now he knocks him out of the playoffs. Because, by the way, the last time they were in this situation, 2015, and I get Rex Ryan wasn't physically playing on the field, but it was Rex Ryan's Bills who knocked the Jets out of the playoffs.
That was worse than anything that would happen with Geno Smith. And remember, Geno's had so many stops since then. Like, it's not as if, like, I'll tell you what would be worse. Like, if you want to use that, like, vengeance. What happens if, let's say, this week they're playing Carolina, and if Sam Darnold beat them, that would be a million times worse than anything Geno Smith could do to them this week. And I know that Sam Darnold beat them in week one last year, but that was a different team and everything. Yeah. This would be playoff spot on the line. The guy that you essentially moved on from because you thought the grass was greener on the other side and cheaper and more inexpensive. So that would be different. I mean, Geno Smith has been on how many teams since he left the Jets, right? Giants, Chargers, Seattle. Am I missing another one?
Yeah, and Sam Darnold might go to the playoffs. So that might be a tough pill for Jet fans to swallow as well. And I get, you know, they had a ton of rushing yards this past weekend. But if they win out, Carolina's going to the playoffs. Sam Darnold gets to the playoffs before the Jets do. It's just going to be an emotional roller coaster for us fans.
Speaking of that, by the way, and we'll get to the phones here at 800-919-3776. Talking about the possibility of that Jet-Dolphin game, and I know where you got to win one game before you're worrying about the Week 18 game, but with the idea that that is a possibility that the Jet-Dolphin game could be flexed to Sunday Night Football, there is already, Ty, a guaranteed win-or-go-home game in Week 18, and that's Tennessee-Jacksonville. It doesn't matter what either one of those two teams does this week. Titans-Jaguars Week 18 is going to be for the AFC South. The loser goes home. So maybe the powers that be at NBC have made up their mind already and said, that's the game we're putting in Sunday night. Although, if they have another win-or-go-in option, maybe they take that instead. But Tennessee-Jacksonville is already guaranteed.
But we could also see Detroit-Green Bay Week 18 be a win-and-get-in situation because
Correct.
The Packers kept their playoff hopes alive yesterday with the Lions, Commanders, Giants all losing. They got the win. So they'll play Minnesota this week, where they lost to earlier in the season, and then end the season against the Lions. So that could be a win-and-get-in situation for both those teams as well.
Carolina-New Orleans could be another one, too, for the crappy NFC South title.
But the Bucs would have to
yeah,
lose.
But do you trust the Bucs? I'm watching that game last night.
I hope they lose.
And I'm thinking, you know what thought popped into my head?
Todd Bowles is not a good coach?
Well, aside from that, and he's a nice guy. We grew up close to each other. Here's the thing. Like, we almost entered a scenario, and think about what universe you'd ever find yourself in, where Todd Bowles and Tom Brady were on the verge of losing to Cliff Kingsbury and Trace McSorley. Think about that for a second. And that was a real possibility for about, what, three quarters?
And if not for the fumble in that late in the fourth quarter, they absolutely win that game. Absolutely win that game. The Bucks do what? Last night. I mean,
why
I'm sorry,
Tom
the Cardinals
still
do last
playing,
night.
By the way. No, like, serious. I mean, like, I know this whole back and forth, and there's a lot of people. Look, I know the Bucks have injuries, and I know they're missing. But, I mean, he's not the same quarterback. I mean, we talked about this last week. Like, he had four straight drives where they turned the football over against the Cincinnati Bengals last week. That was the first time it's ever happened to him in his career. Last night, he's making horrible throws. You got Collinsworth in the booth even saying, I can't even believe what I'm watching. I'm watching him at the podium after the game. The guy looks like he's 38 pounds up there at the podium. His face is gaunt, like he's 45 years old. Ty, enough is enough is enough. Like, he's not the same player anymore. I think if he comes back next year, it's really going to end, like, bad. Like Brett Favre's last year, bad. Like, and all these other quarterbacks who hung on way too long. Like, the Brady thing is come and gone, don't you think?
So I understand where you're coming from. I just try my best as someone who is not a professional athlete to caution against telling guys when they should retire. And I get, like, how it looks. Yes, on the surface, this is not a guy. This is not the way we want to remember Tom Brady. And this is coming from a guy who rooted against him my entire life because he played in this division. But when football is all he's known, and, you know, every day in his entire life, he's mastered the craft of not just preparing for games, but getting into game situations and executing. And that's his, like, you know, 24/7 cycle. I can understand why it's hard to let go. And by the way, there are some rumors, you know, San Francisco, a team that he's flirted with in the past, there's a chance that he could be the quarterback of that team next year. And I don't care how diminished Tom Brady is. If you put him with Kyle Shanahan, that offense, and those weapons, you're telling me they won't be a legitimate threat out there?
Think about how crazy the quarterback carousel was last year in the NFL, and it's probably going to be just as nuts going into 2023. Like, because Rodgers could be on the move, Brady could be on the move, guys that we may not think are going to be on the move could be as well. Like, it's going to be insane. And, you know, you look at the two teams here in New York with the Jets and the Giants. I mean, let's face it, their quarterback situations are far from secure going into next season. I mean, the Giants one maybe looks a little bit more stable right now because I would probably be surprised if it's not Daniel Jones week one next year for the Jets. It's anybody's guess, and like you and I talked about in the first hour, I think that the next 2 weeks and then some are going to go a heck of a long way towards deciding if Mike White is going to have a big say in the matter as well for him.
Quickly on the Giants, I know we're going to get into them a little bit more later.
Yeah.
I do wonder, so just to backtrack, I was very impressed with what I saw from Daniel Jones on Saturday in Minnesota. To have 100%. The Giants in that game against, you know, those circumstances. The Vikings had only lost one time all year at home, and that was to the Cowboys. They improved to an unprecedented 11-0 in one-score games. We know Kirk's having a great year. Justin Jefferson, they are the more talented team. To have that game come down to a 61-yard field goal, I came out very impressed with Daniel Jones because after the punt block and then Justin Jefferson scores that touchdown, I thought it was over. For Danny to lead them down the field, Saquon gets the touchdown, and then Danny converts to Bellinger on the two-point conversion. I came out of that impressed, but I'd also wondered, like, is there a scenario where another team swoops in and overpays for Daniel Jones, and we're thinking that, you know, he's definitely coming back, but another team just comes and says, nah, we want you more, we'll pay you more?
Possibly. It's the NFL, right? I mean, like, you know how drunk some of these teams get for quarterbacks. If you don't have one, you don't have a chance. And there could be a team out there that looks at what Daniel Jones is doing from afar this year and say, hey, you know what? I think in our system, that guy would be a perfect fit.
For Daniel Jones, I do think there is still, and despite the Giants not doing a lot of winning lately, there is still tremendous value in being the quarterback of the New York Football Giants. And obviously, Brian Daboll has done wonders for him reaching his, you know, his maximum potential.
Right.
So I could understand why this is a place he wants to be. But if another team comes out and said, like you said, gets drunk and overpays, that can happen. Like, it's no certainty he's going to come back just because the Giants want him back, is what I'm saying.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's say hi to Buddha in the Bronx. He's up next here on 98.7 ESPN. Buddha, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. How are you, my friend?
Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to you guys, too, man. I hope y'all enjoyed yourself yesterday.
Indeed. What's up, bud?
All right, listen, I'm listening to Sala, and Rob Sala obviously is a very classy guy. he's not going to say anything about the Wilson stuff. You know, listen, Wilson is not going to ever play another down for the Jets. You could clearly see that by the way that they took him and he's inactive. But that's not only a Jets thing. I'm pretty sure that's a two-way street. You know, his family spokesman, Steve Young, has been all over the airwaves. And, you know, it is what it is. Just didn't work out. Like, worst draft pick probably the Jets have ever had. You know, it usurps Blair Thomas. But this game here,
hey, Buddha,
the
there was a lot more. There was a lot more than just Blair Thomas.
I mean, Kyle Brady wasn't great, but I'm just talking about in terms of like how it was supposed to be centric around them as being a leader of the offensive part of the team.
Right.
But you know, look, the Seahawks game is totally winnable. You know, but so were the last four games. And like Mike White, I love Mike White to death, man. You guys know how I feel about Mike White. You know, I hope he's 100% healthy because he's putting it all out there. You understand what I'm talking about? A little shard, a rib goes into one of your organs. That could be a really tough thing. And he's doing it, not guaranteed that he's even going to be offered a deal at the end of this year. So, you know, I know he's the panacea for the administration, the coaches, the players, the teammates, you know, and the fans. But I really just hope, you know, he's okay. But across the board, coaching-wise, there's been things these last few weeks that have not been great. And you spoke about what really is the most difficult, horrible tragedy, non-romantic tragedy for the Jets, and it's been the offensive line. Mm-hmm. And specifically in terms of pass blocking, not only do they not have guys who are healthy or their technique is not great, they're not even been good picking up the blitzes and stuff like that. So they got to run the football tomorrow. I mean, Seahawks is not like going to the Legion of Boom, any of that other stuff that it used to be. It's still a tough road game. It's still a West Coast game. And the best way that the Jets can, like, minimize the stress on Mike White is to get Zonovan Knight going again. Michael Carter, you know, you cost us big, but you guys can kind of carry it home. And then if they win this game, like, which is, like you said, I mean, we could talk about all these different formations of how they could get in. It actually has to do with the Jets winning a freaking game, which they haven't done, it seems like, in 2 months. But, you know, let's see what happens. I mean, hopefully, you know, they can put something together because, you know, Sal is a good man, and I believe that his program will work. But you know how it is here. You only get about 3 years. So these next two games are very important for him moving forward for next year.
No, Buddha, I agree, and I thank you for the phone call. I mean, you're right. I mean, this day and age in the NFL, I mean, look what happened with Nathaniel Hackett in Denver. Sometimes you don't even get a year now. They'll just move on from you.
They were such a train wreck.
That was such a train wreck. You know, the thing is, like, the thing about Denver, and I don't want to go off on a tangent about Denver, but, like, we all knew that he'd be gone at the end of the year. But then you wondered after watching if your eyes could actually, you know, sit through that and watch that horror show. The fact that it was Christmas Day, the whole world was watching that game, either that or you're watching the NBA. And, you know, could that type of calamity playing out like that on a national stage, could it push the ownership of the Broncos to just be like, all right, we can't keep this going even for another 2 weeks. We got to, you know, cut our losses and move on from this. And I guess the answer to that was yes. But, you know, nevertheless, look, all I can say is from just, you know, talking to different guys and so on and so forth, it's not just cliche, Ty. Mike White being in there, like all the stuff that you heard and the way that that locker room rallies around him and so on and so forth, it's not like exaggerated. It's true. So if you think that's going to make them play better, not to say that they were dogging it for the other quarterbacks or whatnot, but I do believe that that is something tangible and can provide a lift. Now, a lot of it is Mike himself, but the other guys, they believe in this guy. And we saw it on the field for at least three games this year. The offense was operating a lot better than it had been with other quarterbacks in there.
Yeah, and let's stop, again, the folks who want to hold the quarterback record against him. It's foolish. That's not a real metric in football. There are so many other layers to the game that happen. And you're right, there is, and you're there. There is something about this guy that resonates with the locker room better than, you know, Zach Wilson. And, you know, Vegas reflects it, right? Because the Jets, when we didn't know about Mike White, were 1.5-point dogs in Seattle. I'm looking at the line now. The Jets are favored by 2.5 points on the road. So there is something to the Mike White effect. I might actually get myself a Mike Bleeping White shirt.
Oh, really?
What the F?
You use your credit card because you've got the money to do it. So just, you know, send me your, you know, the 12-digit code and then.
Do you want a Mike White shirt?
Yes.
Do you want a Mike White shirt?
Let's do it.
I will make that happen for you.
Wow. Breaking news on the show. Ty Butler is getting a Mike White shirt.
Wait a second. You mean that's breaking news worthy? Because Ty says, I want a Mike White shirt, and I say, I can help you out because I can get you a Mike White shirt.
Well, because you're acting like Santa Claus. I feel like that's breaking news.
Ty, you missed a lot. He knows guys now. He's got the I know a guy thing going. There's a lot's happened. You!
Oh, I thought you meant like Noah Syndergaard.
Noah
in the Ark.
No. Where is he now? Dodgers? Whatever. No, you know people. Dan knows people now, Ty. He knew people before. He knows people now, too. A lot more now.
Do you see what just happened? He's like, you want a Mike White shirt? I can make that happen.
And, like, I think it's already on the way.
5 seconds. He didn't even like have to go through anyone. This wasn't, you know, he didn't have to scout it.
How many of those Mike White
it?
Shirts I've gotten for people already?
Oh, man. I still haven't gotten one.
Well, because you never asked. If I knew you wanted a Mike White shirt, I would have gotten you a Mike. Anthony, do you want a Mike White shirt?
Sure, why not? Buttle has one, right?
No, I don't think he has. I just asked a question.
Jacob, you want a Mike White shirt? Jacob, I think you want. Jacob's a Jet fan, too. Jacob Perry.
Jacob, you want a Mike White shirt?
Oh, yeah, I want a Mike White shirt right now. Right, we'll I might have to get my jersey for Sunday, too.
Who the hell is Snoop Connor?
I don't have any Snoop Connor shirts. That I can't help you out with. But the Mike White thing, we'll make happen.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Love the holiday season. And, like, when was the last time, seriously, that both football teams were still alive and still had meaningful games to play during this holiday season?
You know what? I don't know.
Well, I mean, I don't expect Aaron Boone to know. Normally he's preoccupied with baseball and Yankees-type stuff here. But it just, to me, and only because, like, you know, I grew up in sports and you the same, it's just, it makes the holiday season that much more festive when the football is good.
Wouldn't that be 2011? 2011? The Victor Cruz game?
That's right. 2011 was the last time. We're both. Yeah,
because they both were in the hunt for the playoffs. The Jets, both teams needed that game. The Giants, unfortunately, won, and then they win the Super Bowl. But I think that would have to be the last time.
1,000%. That would be the last one. And we know that how that one little game and that one little pass kind of changed the fortunes of both franchises for a good number of years there. It's absolutely true. Let's go back to the phones, shall we, Ty? Let's say hi to Spike in St. Pete, who's up next here on 98.7 ESPN. Spike, happy holidays. How are you?
Merry Christmas to everybody. A little under the weather. Just hope you had a great time. Ty, again, congratulations on another college bill. That's great. I'm happy for you, son, and everybody.
You.
Listen, they're
another college bill.
Well, what I'm learning, Spike, is that I could just bill everything to Dan. So he's got a Mike's white shirt coming for me. Maybe I can send him the college tuition bill, and he'll have that for me as well. So
yeah,
we'll,
I'm sure
we'll
the Mike White T-shirt's going to handle those economics classes pretty good.
I think Dan counts as Mike effing white shirts by the palate. Anyway, listen, the Salah interview, that's a tough one. I heard my two friends, the all authorities, they know the Jets inside. I had Ira, who's licking his chops and his wounds, and Buddha, my buddy Buddha, called this 3 months ago, 2 months ago. We were talking one night on Larry's, and he said, this kid's too small. He looks smaller than he is. The fact that he looks 15 years old is another thing. And this move, well, Salah's in a box. Well, listen, he has another bad game calling timeouts. Who knows if he'll be there? But for you Jet fans, I'm happy for my friends. They can get to the position in the Miami games, everything. And the quarterback is certainly not on the roster, or it's Mike White. And I think that's pretty much it. And one last thing. You know, all the teams, I'm not a hockey guy. I know, Dan, you know every sport inside out, and that's cool. But it seems to me the 9 or 10 teams, not counting the soccer team, everybody's arrows are up. Am I wrong?
In the city? You know what? You're right about that, Spike. When you look at it all around, you're 1,000% right. And you know what? That's good. It's about time, right? I mean, it's about time. Now if we can, you know, maybe get a Carlos Correa physical to pass and, you know, we can, you know, restructure that whole thing, you know, things are looking up and up.
What's that all about? You know baseball. Well, what is that all about? Did they have a caveat in the contract that he has to pass the physical, or they have to wait and find a doctor that'll pass him?
Well, you have to. I mean, Spike, you got to be able to at least make sure that he's A-okay medically before you're going to give a guy $315 million or whatever it is. I don't care if he got more money than God like Steve Cohen. You want at least some assurances, though, that it's not going to go to waste.
But that's 8 years ago, Dan. He's played every game almost. He's played almost 90% of the games every year.
Well,
it's like Tanaka with the Omer.
You know what it is, though, Spike? And thank you for the phone call. Great to hear from you. Last year, he had a little bit of a slight recurrence of that, like with an injury there with the leg with Minnesota. They're just checking up on it and making sure that this isn't something that's going to resurface down the road to where they're going to get burned. I mean, Ty, look, you can understand no matter whose money it is, mine, yours, Steve Cohen's, $350 million is a lot of money. And if I'm going to give it to somebody, I don't want it to be like I'm just opening up the window and throwing it out if he's not going to be available and play for me.
Absolutely. 12 years you're investing into this guy. I would hope you do your due diligence. I do find it odd that this happened with the Giants, and it seemed like, you know, talks just broke off, like they weren't in contact with each other, whereas the Mets, I guess if you're a fan, you should be encouraged that it does look like there is some motivation to still get this deal done. We keep hearing about how much Carlos Correa wants to play in New York for the Mets, so much so that, you know, loving being a shortstop, he's willing to move over to third base to accommodate his buddy Frankie Lindor. But, of course, I understand them maybe looking into putting in some provisions that protect them from injury. That makes absolute sense. It would be unjust for them to not do that.
By the way, I should have mentioned this a little bit earlier. I was going to tell Coach when we had him on, but, you know, you could ask Anthony because I mentioned this the other day. The whole thing with Mike White and now with the power of healing with the ribs and everything, you could thank me for that one a little bit.
Why is that?
Well, because on Friday, I had to do some last-minute, you know, shopping or whatever at the mall. So I ran to the mall, and it was still early, and I had a few hours to kill before I had to, you know, be on the air to do this show. So I got in line. I haven't done this in a lot of years, but I got in line at the line for Santa Claus. And, you know, people were eyeballing me, and they thought I looked kind of weird because I was a lot older than most of the people in line. But they probably thought that maybe I was, like, waiting in line to, you know, my kid was going to come and, you know, sit on Santa's lap. But, no, it was actually for me. I actually was going to go and sit on Santa's lap, and I did.
Sat
on Santa's lap, and I haven't done that since I was maybe, like, 8 years old. It's been a very, very long time.
So 60 years? Wow.
A long time, give or take. You know, a decade here, a decade there. But I sat on Santa's lap, and I said, you know, Santa, I know that you're not a genie. I know you're not a miracle worker. I know, hell, you don't even dabble in medicine. But I said, you know, if you could find the time, on the behalf of a lot of Jet fans out there, if you could just possibly – over the next few days after you finish your route and delivering the toys and making kids happy all around the world, if you could just find it in your heart to maybe, you know, set aside a couple of minutes to ensure that Mike White's ribs calcify in time for Monday so he's able to be cleared by doctors and that he could get fitted for the flak jacket and then go out there and play Seattle and hopefully lead the Jets to the playoffs. And he looked at me like I was crazy. I do believe they even placed a call to security, but I did get out of there in time to where you know, I'm here able to do the show. And more importantly, the moral of the story is that Mike White is cleared. So you're welcome is what I'm trying to say.
I'm just picturing you sitting on Santa's lap and how weird that is. Like a bunch of kids behind you waiting to get their pictures taken. And here comes big old Dan Grasse, who's a 45, 46-year-old man right there sitting on Santa's lap and engaging in a Jet conversation just so the football team can be in good shape. So I have that image just stuck in my mind right now, and I can't get over it.
Well, if they were Jet fans, they appreciate it, though, right?
Yeah, I guess so. But we do have you to thank for it. It just shows you, on a serious note, because no one's going to talk up Mike White. He's not an upper echelon quarterback. He's not Burrow Mahomes. But it just shows you how desperate this fan base is. Like, we're literally starving for some semblance of normalcy or just being an average quarterback that we've anointed Mike White. And look, I'm one of the guys. I think that if the Jets had him under center like you the last couple of games, they win those games. I think that if he had started the season, maybe instead of starting 1-2, they start 2-1. If he had played those games against the Pats, they win those games. That's how much confidence I have in him right now. And it's just good to see him get an opportunity to once again prove that maybe the quarterback question mark, maybe the guy that they're looking for under center, might still be in this organization. And it may not be Zach Wilson. It could still be Mike White.
And the bottom line is, and before all the tweets and stuff come, you know, start flooding in, no, I did not sit on Santa Claus's lap and wait in line. I'm not a weirdo.
That would have gone viral. I think that would have gone viral.
You know, in this day and age, of course it would have. But there's a lot of these stories also about the behind-the-scenes stuff as to whose call it is, playing the quarterbacks and so on and so forth. I mean, we've kind of alluded to it. It's a bottom-line business. You got to win games. Don't you think that if you're Robert Saleh, you're going to play the quarterback who, like, regardless of where he's drafted, how much money he's making, you're going to play the guy that gives you the best chance to win because you need to win games. You need to win games. And I think that it's quite clear everybody in that building knows and that coaching staff, the guy that gives them the best chance to win games is who, Ty?
Mike White, and you owe it to the players who, you know, every week are showing up, you know, putting blood, sweat, and tears into this thing and understanding that the playoffs are right there in the vicinity. Like, everyone talks about windows being open. We just don't know what's going to happen next year. There's always, you know, players who regress, there are injuries that happen. Here's a shot to get to the playoffs. You owe it to that locker room to, as the head coach, put them in best position to get there. And if Mike White is your guy, then so be it. I think if you're trying to develop Zach Wilson, and in lieu of getting your team to the playoffs, that's coaching and organizational malpractice, and that's one that you might not be able to recover from because the players understand who gives them the best chance to win as well.
Say hi to Mike and Lyndon. He's up next here on 98.7 ESPN. Michael, how are you?
Well, guys, I just wanted to point out this whole slide started the Jets losing streaks. I mean, the only games they've won since Breece Hall has gone down is Chicago with a backup quarterback, and we had Mike White, and a Buffalo team that was injury-plagued on defense, and we were able to run the ball. I think if you give Mike White a shot with Breece Hall next year in the backfield, I think they could be really good. I mean, Mike White's best attribute is those accurate checkdowns and swing passes, which Breece has shown he could make huge plays out of. I mean, I don't know what you guys think, but I don't know what quarterback you're bringing in here that's that much better than Mike White.
Well, look, does he still have a lot of work to do, Mike? Yes, because I think that it's far from a finished product. I mean, he only has, what, 6 starts under his belt in his career, at least with the Jets. The thing that he's got to show, guys, which, you know, normally it's the other way around. Like, normally, well, he's got to show that he can win. He's got to show he could do this. He's got to show he could do that. What he's got to show is that he could stay healthy. Because last year, remember, and I know that it was kind of a flukish injury, but he got hurt in his second start that he made on that Thursday night against the Indianapolis Colts, had to leave the game. This year, gets hurt in his third start against the Buffalo Bills, where he gets absolutely annihilated by the pass rush. So 2 years in a row, he's gotten an opportunity. He's gotten knocked out. He's got to show that he could string maybe like 10 games in a row where he's not going to get hurt and he can actually stay in there and be durable. Is that too much to ask? I think an organization would like to know that.
Yeah, and I disagree with the caller as far as like how significant of an upgrade is any quarterback out there. Well, it remains to be seen what happens in Green Bay, right? Like if you were someone like myself rooting for Rodgers to be available, you would have been hoping for them to not still be in the playoff picture, because then they get a good look at Jordan Love, who they traded up to draft, and maybe they decide that their future is brighter with him at quarterback. But would you really want that, though, again,
as a fan? Like, for an organization, that never has had the long-term solution, it's always going for that quick fix, it seems like. And when they do bring in somebody who they think is the long-term answer, it doesn't work out. Like, if you go, let's say, the Aaron Rodgers route and so on and so forth, and it's maybe no more than a 1 or a 2 year proposition, does that entice you? Or instead, would you rather, in a perfect world, let's say it is Mike White, work out to where he is going to be somebody who will be here for the next 6, 7, 8 years? You win with him. I know he's not technically a homegrown, but he fell into your lap, so in a lot of ways he is. Doesn't that seem a little bit more enticing to where, okay, we finally have stability at this position after however many years?
I'll ask the question a different way. First, let me start with, let's just say in a hypothetical world, you trade for Aaron Rodgers this offseason. Are you a championship contender next year with this roster?
What Aaron Rodgers am I getting? Because remember, the first half of the season, Aaron Rodgers wasn't playing very well.
Wasn't playing, but we also learned that he got
Jets
hurt.
Went in there
Giants.
And knocked the crap out of him.
We learned that, and that the week before when they lost to the Giants, because people forget the Packers, where they start 3-1 this year. We learned that in that Giant game, he broke his thumb. And I'm not making excuses for him, but their offensive line has been bad. Their running game hasn't been really good, and their defense has been poor. Has Aaron Rodgers, you know, lived up to Aaron Rodgers standards this year? Of course not. But is he a guy that you would still take in a year or two championship window? Would they be a contender next year? This year, in a down year, he's still got 3,300 passing yards, 24 touchdowns to 11 picks. I think that in the next 2 years, if you have him, he's a contender. So my question is, would you rather have, even though it's a stopgap, 2 years of being a contender with Rodgers versus, I really don't know with Mike White, because we just don't know that he can be a franchise quarterback, because history tells us that he's not going to be. We're just hoping that it becomes a reality, but we don't know.
All right, to answer that question, I think that if you – and you can't play this game because we don't know, but if you're going to assure me that there isn't going to be a considerable drop-off at the level he's at right now, then yes, I'd go the Aaron Rodgers route for the next couple of years.
Okay, and I agree
with
you.
You have to. And look, you're also, regardless of who the quarterback is, you're going to have to do some work on that offensive line. I think we know that.
What do you do with Mekhi Becton, by the way?
I don't think they know.
He's got world-class talent, but he just hasn't been able to stay healthy. And I was really turned off.
He doesn't have a world-class metabolism either, unfortunately.
That's what I was just going to say. Like, I understand that, look, an offensive lineman dealing with an injury is when you're not able to, you know, get cardio in and work out, you're going to gain some weight. But it just didn't feel like he was as disciplined as he should have been. Then the team didn't hear for him for weeks. So all the reports were just negative. It's a difference maker, though, because if he's your left tackle or right tackle, you know, AVT's there, it helps improve that offensive line. And so I think Buddha made this point. As much as we rave about the job Joe Douglas has done, that offensive line where, you know, he's kind of made his name, it just has struck out 3 straight years. Like, Ryan Khalil was a disaster. The Mekhi Becton, draft pick looks like a disaster. AVT, he got right, but they just can't figure out this offensive line. And that's where, you know, that was one of his main points of,
well, remember,
you know,
too,
him
if you
being
go
good
draft,
at this.
If you go draft a guy like Aaron Rodgers, if you go trade for a guy like Aaron Rodgers, what is it going to cost you in terms of draft capital? So you could forget about your number one pick. You could probably forget about your number one pick, I don't know how many years into the future. And then you got to figure out a way to patch hold this offensive line together, among other areas. Like, I don't know. Like, the Jets are an ascending team. I just don't think they're one player away from being a Super Bowl contender.
I would agree with that. But it just, and I know we got to hit a break here. All of this, you know, what stinks about all of this? This conversation about, you know, trading for Aaron Rodgers, draft compensation, figuring out the quarterback. if the number two overall pick, who was drafted just one place behind Trevor Lawrence, just actually were good, then we wouldn't be having this conversation. And that just makes it all the more frustrating.
Well, if the Jets and Adam Gase didn't go decide to beat the Rams 2 years ago, you know, when they were winless, that's also. The other thing, too, is, you know, the anomaly is that if you swing and miss this badly, apparently, on a number two overall pick who happens to be a quarterback, you're not talking about a team generally that is playing for a playoff spot in just the second year, right? Normally, it's like that team is like a 4 or 5-win team, or maybe even worse, and they're just trying to navigate their way through this until they're still actually playing for something, which is just weird in and of itself.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Dan Grasso, Ty Butler. We're in for the K-Show here on 98.7 ESPN. We'll talk to Steve Young coming up in just a little bit. But, Ty, you know what? It's time for a little Big Blue Report brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers. And, you know, we kind of alluded to it a little bit earlier in the show. And even though the Giants walk off the field with an L, they showed me a lot again on Saturday. They really and truly did because, you know, for a while, the way that game was unfolding, I kept saying to myself, you know, this is straight out of the playbook as to how the Giants go about winning games and how they've won games pretty much all year, right? Hang around, don't shoot yourself in the foot, stay within striking distance, and then find a way to make one more play than the opposition in that fourth quarter, except they made a couple of miscues, right? You had the Bellinger fumble in the second quarter, you had that Jones INT in the fourth, but despite all that, you still found a way to drive down the field at the end. Jones drives him down. They get the touchdown, or Saquon with the touchdown. Then the big two-point conversion play. You're right there. And you lose on a 61-yard walk-off field goal from a guy who has struggled this year from beyond 50 yards, and this is an indoor kicker. So I know it stinks. I know that you would have liked to sewn up a playoff spot and taken care of it already, but I still think the Giants are in really good shape, and I don't feel any different about them than I did before that game against the Vikings.
Listen, it's a heartbreaking loss for the Giants to once again. It's like death taxes and the Giants losing on a 60-yard field goal because it seems like those things continue to happen to them. But to go into Minnesota, where they've only lost one time all year, and the record says that the Vikings are the second-best team in the NFC, and you lose the turnover battle, you have all these miscues, and you still find a way to go toe-to-toe with that team, I feel great. And Daniel Jones, I got to be honest, I was one who was very skeptical about this notion that, you know, pair him with Brian Daboll and we're going to see the full Josh Allen experience, like he turned around Josh Allen. I was like, pump the brakes. Josh Allen, there was a lot of potential there. Daniel Jones is not Josh Allen. But the season he's putting together, Dan, I've been so impressed with this guy, and none more than what I saw this past Saturday. Giants had a real opportunity to win that game, and I'll take it a step further. If this ends up being the playoff matchup, the Giants get in and they face Minnesota, they could absolutely win that game. Absolutely.
I agree with you. You know, the Jets should have beat Minnesota. Giants probably could have easily won that game. That's the opponent you want, because if you look ahead, let's just say right now that the Giants are going to be the 7th seed, or the 6th seed, the 6th seed, rather. I think that they're going to finish ahead of Washington because I think the Giants are going to beat Indianapolis this week. And that was the game you circled all these weeks. Just take care of the Colts. By virtue of having that one tie, the 9 wins should be good enough for you. So let's say the Giants stay in there as the 6. You're playing the 3 seed in the NFC in the first round. Right now, that's San Francisco, but I think in 2 more weeks, Ty, that's going to be the Vikings, because Minnesota goes to Green Bay and to Chicago. I think they lose in Green Bay this week. So that's going to be, 13-4 for Minnesota. San Francisco is at the Raiders, and then home against the Cardinals, who are barely an NFL team at this point.
They
I think San Francisco, yeah, they should win both of them. So they finish tied. San Francisco would have the tiebreaker based on conference record, which means the Niners would be the 2 seed, Vikings the 3 seed. Giants could be going back to Minnesota in 2 more weeks to take on the Vikings again.
So that's what you're rooting for if you're a Giants fan. You're rooting for that exact scenario to unfold, because I don't think you have any shot of beating San Francisco. I don't know that any team in the NFC can beat San Francisco. They just seem to be loaded. And Kyle Shanahan takes quarterbacks and turns water into wine. It just doesn't matter who's under center. But that Vikings team, I think, is begging to be beaten in the playoffs in round one. I think they're frauds. They're not as good as their record says they are. They're 11-0 in one score games, and they've had 5 walk-off field goals this year. That just doesn't feel sustainable. It does not feel sustainable, and I just watched the Giants go toe-to-toe with that team. Saquon looks like he's back to being the Saquon of earlier in the season.
And that's
Daniel
such a big
Jones.
Difference, too.
Yeah, he keeps making throws. Daniel Jones keeps making critical throws. And Hodgins dropped one. Richie James dropped one. The Giants had an opportunity to win that game. I think that's the matchup you got to be looking for if you're a Giants fan.
I'll tell you one thing, though. They miss Adoree Jackson still a lot. And you saw that the other – and look, I know Justin Jefferson is great, and he's going to make a lot of cornerbacks look silly, but it's not just that. You miss Adoree Jackson, and I remember this kind of reared its head in the second half of that Cowboy game on Thanksgiving. The problem is that Wink Martindale doesn't deviate from what he does regardless of who's in there. So, like, now you're down Adoree, and you're playing dudes at the cornerback position literally, like, off the street. The Cardale Flots of the worlds and the Fabian Moreaux and stuff. You can't be playing the blitz game as hot and heavy as Wink likes to do and then leave these corners out on an island because they're going to get burned. You saw it in that Dallas game, and you saw it at times again on Saturday, and that just drives me crazy a little
bit. Dan, can I ask you a question real quick? So it's 3rd and 11 for Minnesota. They have no timeouts left, and they're on their own 41-yard line. Why is Wink blitzing? And I get it. The answer is going to be that's what he does. In that situation, you can't blitz. The only way they can beat you is with a play like that. And you just keep them in front of you, tackle them in bounds. They can't win in regulation. That to me, that lost them the game. That's a terrible decision by Wink.
Unfortunately, that's what led him, you know, basically showed him the exit door in Baltimore, you know, after all those years there. It's kind of like you live by the sword, you die by the sword. You know, Greg Williams was kind of like the same way when he was here with the Jets. Like, okay, that's great. He's aggressive, that style. But then, you know, at the most inopportune time, you get burned for it. And
that
you remember
Raider game.
Yeah, oh, cover Jesus. 0. And, I mean, that was a disaster that whole year regardless.
And Jet fans were celebrating all over social media, by the way, because they were tanking for Trevor. They wanted to go
0-16. You remember
Yeah, of course
that
I remember
like.
That game. Shoot. Wasn't it Henry Ruggs?
That was Henry Ruggs, yeah. Over against Lamar Jackson, the cornerback Lamar Jackson, not the quarterback. Lamar Jackson. By the way, another guy we didn't even talk about who might be available come the offseason in the quarterback carousel, Lamar Jackson.
Is he going to be available? The Raven, I think, I forget who.
They haven't
I think
paid
it was
him yet.
Terry Bradshaw said this on the broadcast on Saturday. Lamar Jackson's earning some money by not playing. You see what, and I get they won this weekend, but you see what this team looks like without him. Lamar Jackson instantly makes them a contender. The Ravens are a pretty well-run organization. I don't think they're letting him go.
Why haven't they paid him already? You know what I'm saying? Like, you could say that he's earning some money, but okay, did they not know what they had yet? Why haven't they paid him up until this point? That's what
they haven't
makes
had
me scratch
to pay
my
him
head.
They technically haven't had to pay him. I still think it's going to get done.
You just
look,
walk a fine
love,
line, though, with some dudes. Like, they
love
take
for them
that
not
as disrespect.
Would I love for them not to get it done? And the Jet quarterback next year, Lamar Jackson, former MVP, of course.
That's great for a storyline, sure.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.